Father God, it's been such an amazing morning in your presence. And as we lift our hands to you in faith, we thank you, Lord, that in these moments we cannot stop the abundance of your Holy Spirit and the movement of your Holy Spirit in this place. We come, Lord, and become thirsty. For we want to be at that fountain and we want to drink from the living water. In this morning we will be reminded that there was a moment in time when the fountain of life cried out on the cross, "I am thirsty." You would understand our thirst, and you give so abundantly. So, Lord, here we are, and we come to you so that you may give and we may drink freely. Now, here as we close our prayer and we lift our hands, so that you, Lord, may be glorified. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Are we not abundantly blessed in this place? Just look at this music team we had on this place this morning. I mean, we have these young children standing up there, and they're singing with us. We have folks that are 80 years old, young, singing with us. We have folks that have been in this church for most of their life, singing with us. We have brand new folks singing with us. And we bring honor and glory to God as we just put it all together and we become God's people. And this is my joy. Maybe we've got something in this old 135-year-old church that is unique. And thank you, Gwendolyn, for a lot of hard work that you have put in this time of transition as we're learning together and moving together on how to put things together. Because I know the choir was concerned. What's going to happen to us? Wow, look what's happened to you. When God's people come together and we work together and we take hands, that's when God is glorified, and that's all it's about. This morning we prayed and we said, Lord, when we worship, can we just all disappear? Because it's not a show. It's to worship you. And boy, did we worship this morning. It was amazing, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for each one of you that gives freely of your talents. Even Allison just comes out of the blue and says, yeah, I'll come worship with you on a notice just 3-4 days ahead of time. Thank you. Thank God for this place. We're going to continue our little series. There's one more left in the series before we get to Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter. And from the book of John, a few verses, chapter 7. Verses 37 down to 39, and then chapter 19, just one single verse as well. With the light so bad, I still need these glasses, even though I don't want them. On the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. For up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The book of John uses the word glorified for Jesus' death on the cross. And then in chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus on the cross. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. As we were choosing and looking at the worship for today in our creative worship team that meets once a month, and we try and find that which goes with the sermon title and with where we're going, and we knew today we're going to talk about being thirsty, we specifically chose the song, All Who Are Thirsty. All who are thirsty, come to the fountain. Dip your hearts in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. And deep cries out to deep. I am thirsty. Because I know I shouldn't assume. I know what that does. But my assumption is this: as we sit in this place today, that we're joined together by a common thirst. A thirst for a deeper life. A thirst for a more meaningful life. A thirst for a life that is richer and fuller. For a life that matters. We're thirsty, my friends. And you're saying to me, how can you say that? Where do you come from? Well, here's the thing. I've been a minister for more than 35 years of my life. And I have seen it. Yes, God, I'm that old. I've seen it. So often, someone will know, can I come in? And they'll close the door. And I will hear the thirst. And I will see the thirst. I open the email, and I see the thirst. I get the phone call, and it just comes through that phone line. I am thirsty. And the thirst comes differently for all of us. Because we're all the same. Our thirst is not always exactly the same. Some say, I'm so thirsty to know God in a real way. I'm so tired of just going through the motions. Sometimes I just read and I pray, if I even do that. But I thirst for more than that. I thirst for that moment when I read that Bible and I look at those words, and they're more than black words on just white paper. They become God speaking to that thirst in my life. I so long for those moments when I stand on my knees, and it's not just a little prayer that I've said so many times in my life, but where that moment becomes a moment in which my heart and God's heart start beating together, and God fills me with His water. Some will say, my thirst is for love. Oh my goodness, and have I had that so often in the last few years? Where they walk in and the door is closed, and a mother and father will sit and weep because they thirst for the love of their children that are broken and hurting. Where couples will walk in the door and they'll sit in opposite seats, and they're both so thirsty for the love of each other, but the fountain is so dry. They thirst. Some thirst for their life just to be real again. To be real like that first moment when they met the Lord Jesus, and there was this fountain that was welling up in them, and somehow the fountain has gone down a little bit, and they just pray, can I just flow like that river again? Just the past week, spoke with one of my best friends. And he says to me, you know, you and I, we always have to give. But I'm so thirsty. And sometimes, lately, I've been so thirsty that I don't have so much to give. I'm so thirsty. You know what happens when we're thirsty? Maybe the best example of thirsty is a baby. A little baby asks Shiloh. Little Isaac is thirsty. He's restless. He's unsatisfied. He's kind of antsy because he's thirsty. That's what happens to us. We look at our lives, and when we become so thirsty and there's nothing to drink, we're unsatisfied. We're unfulfilled. We're restless. We need. So can I take you back to our Lord Jesus and His words this morning? On the last and the great day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stood and said with a loud voice, if anyone, put your name in there, is thirsty, come to me. streams of God's living water will flow in you and through you. Let me tell you a little something about this. We don't even get it because we don't get what happened there. The feast that John is speaking about here is one of the three big feasts of the Jewish people. Passover. What's the other one? Yom Kippur, but not as big as the Feast of the Tabernacles. And of course, what's the other one? There's plenty of these difficult ones. Come on, do the easy ones. Sukkot. He stands at the Feast of the Tabernacle. 7 days this feast would last. During the 7 days, they're celebrating the fact that God brought them out of slavery, took them through the desert, and for 40 years, God provided for them. So during the 7 days of the feast, they would live in booths. Remember, Jane, when we were in Israel, we just came at the end of the feast, and we still saw some of the booths. First day we got off the bus, we saw some of the booths that they still built. They live in the booths to remind them of God caring for them in the wilderness. God caring for them when there was nothing. God providing when there was nothing. When they asked for bread, God gave bread from heaven. When they needed water, God opened a rock and He gave water. When they needed clothes, the clothes were there for 40 years. So during this feast, this is what they would do. They would celebrate this. But every day, they would go down to the pool of Siloam. And they'd gather water. And they'd bring the water to the altar at the end of the day. And then when that thanksgiving offering is brought, they pour the water around the altar as a sign to remind them of God's outpouring of His blessing. To remind them also of that moment when they stood at the rock and they said, "We're tired, we're done, we're going back. We don't want to do this anymore. Where's everything?" And then God says, "There is water from a rock." But on the eighth day, the great day of the feast, at the end of the day, there would be no water moment. And in that moment, Jesus gets up. And He says, "You follow John, chapter 3, you'll see He's doing the journey. Chapter 3, Jesus says, I am the real temple. Chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the one that will give you bread. Chapter 7, He says, I will give you water. Chapter 8, He says, I will bring the cloud, the light, I am the light." And it goes on and goes on until chapter 19. He says, "I am the Lamb of the Passover that will die for you." And at this feast He stands and He says, "Are you unfulfilled? Are you needy? Are you restless? Are you struggling? Are you empty? Do you need to be filled? Are you far away? Have you come to the end of the line? The end of your rope? Come to Me. Drink." It's an invitation. It's an invitation to come and take so freely of the Holy Spirit of God, because that's who He's talking about. He's saying, if this is your life, if you've come to that place where you're saying, "Lord, there's so much that I need. Lord, I'm so needy. I am so thirsty. I'm dying. I'm at a rock and a hard place." Then He says, "I can give water from the rock. And I can make the hard places gentle. If only you will let My Spirit come into you. And the Spirit will flow." For here's the problem. You see, we like to fill the gaps with our own things. I'm thirsty, so let me go buy more stuff. I'm thirsty, let me go eat more stuff. I'm thirsty, let me go do more, all kinds of crazy stuff that I shouldn't be doing. I'm thirsty, let me go do this, and that will fulfill me. I'm thirsty, let me mess up my relationships and see if that helps. And the more we do this, the thirstier we become. And the less of the water of life is flowing through us. And Jesus says, that will never, ever stop your thirst. Nothing in this world can fill the thirst that you have. There's only one place that you can come. It's come to the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing that happens. When I allow the Holy Spirit, and I preached this sermon, I think, 14 years ago. When you allow the Holy Spirit of God to come into your life, what happens is this. It's not that all of a sudden Jesus says, well, there you go, quick fix, life is ready, go. Nah. For 40 years they still wandered the desert. They still had to trust Him for that water all over again because they were learning. Because this is what the Spirit of God does. When the Spirit of God comes into my life, He starts in the one room where I allow Him. Like when the minister comes to visit you, you take him into the parlor. Because that's all neat and tidy and cool. You don't take me to your kitchen. Don't take me to the bedroom. Or the TV room, because that's even worse. That's what we do with the Holy Spirit. You'll come, but it's fine. You'll go into the parlor. And you'll sit in the parlor and you'll have tea with me. And you'll ask me how I'm doing. And I'll lie to him. And I'll tell him I'm fine. And then you'll talk to me about being thirsty. And I'll give him more tea. And he'll say, can I give you something? And then he gives me water. And I say, I like what you're doing to my parlor. Would you hang on a while and just stay a little bit? Remember last week the Samaritan said, will you stay a few days? And he stays a few days. And then he says, smells good in the kitchen. How about we go stand it? And no, it's a little, come on, I've seen more kitchens than you know. And you'll go into my kitchen. And we'll drink some water in the kitchen. And that kitchen will change. And it will never be the same. And he'll move from room to room to room to room until the water of life flows in this thirsty house. And I don't need the stuff to stop the gaps. I don't need the things of the world to fill my thirst. I can stand before the streams of mercy that flow and deep can cry to me. Come. Come and drink. It needs to happen. I need to come and say, Spirit, give me. Lord Jesus, can I drink, please? And then those streams just open. But my friends, here's the thing. It goes through the cross. You cannot get to the streams without the cross. Did you see what John said? He says, Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which did not yet come because He had not yet been glorified. He had not yet died. I can only come through the river of life when I go through the cross of the crucified Jesus, because at the cross of Jesus is where the floodgates are opened. Because in that moment when the Son of God hangs on that tree and He says, Father, I've done all I've had to do and it is all ready and finished. And then He can say, I am thirsty. And that thirst is for you, my brother, my sister, my friend. That thirst is for a world that is broken and dry. That thirst is for every man and child and woman who has ever cried and said, I am thirsty. And when I bring my thirst to the thirst of my Lord Jesus on that cross, that's when the water starts flowing and nothing can stop it. So here's my question. Are you thirsty this morning? What is your thirst? What is that that makes you restless? Makes you struggle? Makes you stumble? Will you bring that to the fountain of life and drink? For if you drink, it will become a fountain that will flow through you. No, not just a little puddle of water, not just a little glass. It will flow into your life. Relationships that are messed up will be changed. A life that is struggling will be changed. Darkness will become light. And the wilderness will become a place where I walk with my God, for He gives the water so freely. Come and drink, says the Lord Jesus. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer before we sing.